Hello, you are listening to Juno Afternoon. It's Friday, August 9th, and this is KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardis. I'll be your host today, along with Jeff Brown, who's the producer and engineer of the show. Today, we've got a great show. We've got information about the upcoming STAR performances, Perseverance Theater's youth performance, summer program, STAR performances this weekend. We'll also learn about a writing contest, a 36-hour writing contest that is available to all Alaskans. We'll also learn about communication classes at UAS this fall, and we'll get a preview of this week's Food Truck Friday. All that, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more. And as far as the weather, it's getting sunny.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. There's concern that millions of Canadian government documents won't be provided to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission before the commission's mandate ends next year. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, members of the commission are headed to Canada's library and archives to gather the documents.
That still doesn't mean they will be able to beat the timetable, since it involves about 3.5 million documents. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission is looking at the treatment of Native children at Canada's residential schools. The schools were funded by the government and run by churches with the aim of assimilating Native children into white society, but thousands were physically, sexually, or emotionally abused. In 2008, Prime Minister Harper apologized for what's described as a dark chapter in Canadian history. But the commission, which was set up as part of the settlement, asked the courts to decide whether Ottawa is obligated to hand over documents relating to that period. In January, a judge agreed and ordered that the documents be provided. Murray Sinclair is the chairman of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Since then, the government has started to take some steps to make those documents available to us, but the question now is whether they have enough time and enough resources to be able to do it within the time left in our mandate.
The commission says over the past year it's received more than 1 million documents that were held by the Department of Aboriginal Affairs, but it says there are still millions and possibly even tens of millions being withheld. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The Lakota Natural Food Company that makes the Tonka Bar is being nationally recognized for having one of the top 10 wholesome foods for men. As Jim Kent reports, the Tonka Bar was first introduced by Native American Natural Foods in South Dakota at a powwow a few years ago.
A brief glance at the Native American Natural Foods website shows glowing reports from Seattle to Afghanistan for the energy bar made from cranberries and prairie-raised buffalo. Tonka Bar's most recent praise is being sung by the Sterling Rice Group of Boulder, Colorado. The company specializes in culinary strategy and innovation. Spokesperson Christy Wood says Sterling Rice just listed Tonka Bar among its top 10 wholesome foods just for men.
Companies are realizing that not only are men starting to do more of the food purchasing themselves, but they're also increasingly health conscious, and they're looking for alternatives to the foods, particularly snack foods, that traditionally targeted them, which were often highly processed and laden with salt and fat. We're now seeing a proliferation of products with health benefits and packaging that speaks specifically to a male audience. Products with high protein, positive nutrition.
Christy Wood adds that Tonka Bar's short ingredient list and minimal processing made it an obvious choice for inclusion in her company's list of top wholesome foods for men. Native American Natural Foods, which produces the Tonka Bar, is located on the Pine Ridge Reservation. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
Interior Secretary Sally Jewell and Education Secretary Arnie Duncan held a series of events with the Eastern Shoshone and Northern Arapaho tribes in Wyoming this week. According to an Interior Department press release, the events highlighted the importance of education through a roundtable discussion and school visits. A resilience run in Albuquerque, New Mexico is commemorating an event in Pueblo history. The Indian Pueblo Cultural Center is hosting the first such run on Saturday. The event commemorates Popey, a central figure in the Pueblo Revolt. More than 300 years ago, Pueblo people rose up against the Spanish. A half marathon, 5K run, and 1 mile fun run are being held. Proceeds from the event are going to the purchase of a marble sculpture of Popey. On this day in 2012, the United Nations International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples recognized Indigenous media. An event was held at the UN headquarters in New York. It included a panel of speakers from indigenous media organizations and the screening of a film. The day is celebrated annually on August 9th. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, you are listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News Juneau. As for the weather, today there are decreasing clouds, tonight mostly clear, tomorrow partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming sunny, highs around 69. Saturday night, mostly clear, Sunday, sunny. Sunday night and Monday, mostly clear. And right through the weather forecast that I'm looking at, it is sunny or partly cloudy. It is the summer of 2013 in Juneau, Alaska. In the studio with us today, Friday, August 9th, is Shauna Strausser from Perseverance Theater and Don Calden, who is directing one of the programs of their summer youth program. So welcome, Shauna. Welcome, Don.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, Shauna, let's pretend that I don't know anything about the STAR program. Can you tell me a little bit about the STAR program and the culminating performances this weekend?
Yes, sure. So the STAR program is an acting program for kids ages 10 to 18, and we're doing three separate shows. The shows actually run in rep, so these kids have actually been rehearsing these shows for 4 weeks, and now they go into performance. They did performances last weekend, so this is our second weekend of performances. And tonight is the final performance of Cinderella. Tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. is the final performance of Guys and Dolls. And then we close tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. with the final production of King Lear.
Wow. Talk about a wide variety of shows.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
So are the kids in all the shows, or are the kids in one show?
The kids choose which show they want to do. So, we have a lot of really Shakespearean kids who are doing the King Lear. You know, they really love it. We have a lot of outgoing, great singers in the show that Don's directing, Guys and Dolls. And Cinderella is really interesting. We have a lot of new, some returning, but a lot of really new kids to the program.
That sounds great. So the performances are where?
The performances are on the main stage at Perseverance Theater, and we usually do these at the University of Alaska Southeast at the Noise Pavilion in the past, and they're building a big dorm out there, which is pretty cool. However, it did mean that we needed to move our performances inside to the main stage at Perseverance, and which has been a total blessing. So it's just been a lot of fun. The kids are learning so much about actually how to work in a professional theater.
That sounds great. And so tonight the show is at 7:30, 2 tomorrow for Guys and Dolls Junior, I understand, and then King Lear at 7:30. And tickets are available at the door?
At the door and at Hearthside, online at perseverancetheater.org and jahc.org.
Great. So, Don, you have been directing with this program for years, I understand.
Yes, for 6 years.
So is this first time? Do you usually do musicals, actually?
Yes, I've done one non-musical. Otherwise, I am the musical person.
Okay. Yeah. And I understand there's 12 kids that you're moving around the stage in a musical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That seems like quite a feat, actually.
It's really a fun feat. So on stage, but also many of these kids are playing multiple roles, and so it's also really fun backstage. They get off stage, they have to run just as fast off stage to get to their next place. So super professional and fun and energized.
Oh, it sounds great. So Guys and Dolls Junior, I mean, I saw that in one of the newspapers, and I was just wondering, what does that mean? So does that mean it's an abridged version, there's less songs or something along those lines, or than the classic Guys and Dolls?
I would say it still feels like the classic story. In fact, our piano player, Jackie, was in Guys and Dolls, and she finally realized a couple of the songs that were cut. So you hardly notice the songs that were cut because they still have all the really good, the meat of the show, definitely.
Okay. And what is it like working with an age group from 10 to 18 years old? That seems like such a wide span.
I like it because I think I mean, brain research shows that, like, the younger kids, they're still so open and ready to try everything, and sometimes a little bit older kids get a little more stuck in their head. So in some ways, the younger kids sort of keep the older kids open, but then the older kids also have been there longer, so they know the professionalism and the ins and outs and how hard you really have to work to have a great result.
That sounds great. That sounds great. And so last week the shows ran as well, and it's such a wide variety, musicals, Shakespeare, and it just is wild. And Cinderella, a classic story, sounds like there's something for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And we've had really great audiences. So people have, you know, come to see everything. We've had bigger audiences this year than many years previous.
That's great. And it's in the theater, so there's plenty of room for everybody.
There's plenty of room. We even have a couple of shows with intermissions, so you can actually get snacks. You know, it's kind of a whole different ballgame. If it rains, you're not going to be freezing.
Exactly. And it's not in the small theater either, so there's enough more than just however many that seats, but it's pretty small. So let's talk about the length of the plays. So is Guys and Dolls like 90 minutes or...
Yeah, it's exactly about 90 minutes.
Uh-huh. Most of the shows are around 90 minutes. So
yes, King Lear is about 90 minutes, and Cinderella is actually about an hour 40, almost hour 45.
Wow, that sounds like such an amazing effort to get the kids to do a full-length play like that. It must be so rewarding. I know it's a four-week program, so you have the time, but still it seems like a lot from point A to point B. So can we talk a little bit about what you've been doing it so long, Dawn? What is it that keeps on bringing you back to direct kids?
It's a good question. Definitely their open heart, their willingness to try anything. Not as many life experiences that have you blocked, so they're just so open and fresh. That brings me back. Watching them grow as actors and watching them take risks and be proud of themselves, like really the energy they bring to it is this enthusiasm and this energy and this wanting. I'm pretty competitive, and so I want to do a good job. And I think the kids know that, and they're competitive too. I mean, they want to do a good job. Theater is super physical, super hard, and the reward is a really good show. So the brings me back is good shows. What brings me back, it's true, and what brings me back is great kids, awesome stage managers. And this year we talked about the technical element. It was hard for all of us, including the kids. It was brand new to have several days in tech with light cues and learning to stop and go and stop and go and be ready in a snap. It brings me back because they're so energized and they do such a good job. And on stage, they have this rawness and this realness that only youth can bring to a play.
Yeah, that sounds great. So performances are tonight, 7:30, and that's Cinderella. Tomorrow at 2, Guys and Dolls, the show that Dawn directed, and tomorrow night, King Lear. So let's say somebody's listening and they say, oh, wow, I really want my kid to get involved with something like that. Do you have something during the winter, or is it only a summer youth program?
Yeah, well, the summer program is STAR, and then in the fall we transition into something called Young Company, and that's actually ages 10 to 18 as well, and that's production-based, and I just ordered a script today, and I think I'm going to do the Phantom Toll Booth.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, because that's just fun. And so I'm pretty, I got to read the script first. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, so that's, we meet every Tuesday and Thursday starting towards the end of September, and we go 4 to 6 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then towards closer to the production, we actually do Saturday rehearsals, and then we do 2 weekends of performance on the second stage.
Okay, and is that usually around Thanksgiving or Christmas?
Just right before Thanksgiving.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming. Do you ladies have anything you want to add about tonight? How about just where to get tickets?
Yeah,
then?
Tickets. Tickets are available at the door at Perseverance Theater. They're available at perseverancetheater.org, jahc.org, and at Hearthside Books, both downtown and the Valley.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, you are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Joan Pardis. Jeff Brown's in the studio. He's the producer and engineer of this show. And on the line, I have Allie McCart. Allie McCart, I'm sorry about that. Allie is a Metlakatla resident, and she is coordinating a writing contest that's based in Portland, but is actually available to all Alaskans online. And it is called the Sledgehammer 36-Hour Writing Contest. Hi, Allie. Are you on the line?
Hi, yes, thank you.
Great. So, Allie, I understand that 49 Writers and the Alaska Writers Guild is one of your many, many sponsors for this Sledgehammer 36-Hour Writing Contest. And why don't you tell me a little bit about the writing contest and the online component, especially since we have an Alaskan audience?
Absolutely. So the idea behind Sledgehammer is that it gets their blood moving. So we have a lot of writers who are either hobby writers and aren't doing it very often, or we even have professional writers, but maybe they're in a rut. And so this is an idea. It's 36 hours that you dedicate just to writing. We give you 6 writing prompts, but we don't make it too easy. We make you do a little bit of a scavenger hunt to pick up the writing prompts. And then from there you write your story. And the scavenger hunt is, it's a way to get the blood moving again, but it's also a way to support our sponsors. We have so many incredible sponsors, I think 40 this year, who support the contest by providing the prize packages. So it's a kind of give and take with the scavenger hunt. It's a way for us to support them in exchange for them supporting us.
Okay. So the writing contest, I'm going to just kind of go with what I know, and you interrupt me if I'm wrong. The writing contest is August 17th through 18th. Traditionally, it's been in Portland only for on-site participants, but now it has an online component. It's, as I said, 49 Writers, Alaska's Writers Guild is one of the many sponsors. So it starts August 17th at noon. There's a registration. If you pre-register, it's a few dollars less than if you register the day. You register that day. You go and get your prompts through the scavenger hunt. And then when are the stories due?
They're due by midnight on Sunday. And these times are actually Pacific time since the contest is originally based in Portland. So
okay.
That's something that Alaska writers should definitely take note of.
Okay. So that's good to know that it's Pacific time. But what's really interesting is you could enter as an individual, you could enter as a team, youth can enter, and I think there's one more category as well.
So those are the categories for contestants, but then we have 6 prize packages of different categories. So there's individuals and there's teams. We also have a Reader's Choice Award. So once the stories have been turned in, we'll put them in online, and readers can vote for their favorite stories.
And then, so if you were up here, you would just submit a video of yourself reading your story?
So, they would just email their story in to me, and I'll put all of the written stories on the website. We will do a reading that they can submit videos to as well, and we'll have all that on the website too. But as far as the Reader's Choice voting goes, it's people can read the story traditionally, you know, with words, or they can watch the video and vote for their favorite story.
That sounds great. So how much is the registration fee to be a contestant?
It's $36 for adults. 36 is our magic number because it's a 36-hour contest for a day and a half. And it's $360 for youth. Day of registration, it goes up. It is $50 for adults and $5 for youth.
Okay. And so it's 12 noon Pacific time on August 17th. The gun goes off. You get your clues. You go. If I'm speaking as an Alaskan here, you would go search the web. You would get your prompts, and you would have till Sunday, 12 o'clock Pacific time, to submit it. There is no word limit. Besides that, it doesn't seem there's much parameters as far as form or structure. Is that correct?
Right. We encourage people to play with form and structure. You know, whatever strikes you. As far as word limit, we do not set a word limit. We do remind writers that typically brevity is a sign of good writing, but there is no cap on it. They just have to have all 6 writing prompts in the story, and it has to be fiction and completely written within the time frame of the contest.
Right, so no brushing off old stuff.
Exactly.
And then what about if somebody wants to write a poem? Would that work, or does it have to
Absolutely.
Be a poem's fine, a short story is fine, a short story,
yeah,
anything
a play.
Goes?
Yeah.
Fun.
Absolutely.
Fun. So how many people did you have last year?
Last year, I think we had about 35 people here in Portland only. So far this year, we've got 40 people signed up combined with Portland writers and people from all over who are registered. And we've got a week left for registrations, and we're excited to see what that number will get up to.
Yeah, it sounds great. And so I want to digress from the Sledgehammer Contest, and if you're interested to find out more, just search sledgehammercontest.com. Everything's there. It's really clear and easy to see what has to happen, and it sounds like a fun way just to get yourself writing. You know, whether you write 1 hour or use all 36 hours to come up with something, it sounds like a fun way to just, for me, to spend an afternoon. But you also... you are the president of executive editor and director of business development at Indigo Editing and Publications, and I think you have an upcoming online class coming up. Is that true?
It's an in-person class, and so the reason, the Portland connection here is that I lived in Portland until just a year ago, and a year ago I moved to Metlakatla. So the class that's coming up tomorrow is actually in person, but we are working on getting all of our classes. We do classes on a monthly basis. To get them all accessible online so that we can have writers all over participating in them.
Okay, that sounds fun. And that's Indigo Editing and Publications. So, Ali, I've got to ask, Portland to Metlakatla, what was it?
You know, my boyfriend works for the school in Metlakatla, and, you know, I went up there with him, and it's just a really incredible community, and I love it there. And so I'm in Portland at the moment for business, but I'm really eager to get back to Metlakatla and spend the school year there again.
That sounds great. So let's go. It's the story that many of us have. You come up, and you either love it or you're moving on, and that's how many of us have come. And as a writer, I bet it's got lots of great material.
Yeah.
So, just the natural beauty I'm thinking about. But then, of course, there's the Alaskan native aspect of it as well. But let's get back to the Sledgehammer Contest. So it's August 17th and 18th. It's a 36-hour writing contest. You could participate online, and you could check it out all at sledgehammercontest.com. Thanks, Ali, for joining us today.
Thanks so much, John.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Paperback
writer. Yes, sir, oh, madam, will you read my book? It took me years to write. Will you take a look? It's based on a novel by a man named Lear, and I need a job, so I want to be a paperback writer. Paperback writer. Yeah.
Support for this program comes from Balloons by Night Moods, offering new and used Halloween costumes from infant to adult sizes. Balloons by Night Moods, located at 9342 Glacier Highway in the Valley. More info at 523-1099.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, August 9th, 2013. On this day in 1974, Richard Nixon officially resigned from the presidency. At 11:35 in the morning, his resignation letter was delivered to Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. Gerald Ford took the oath of office. Then, at 12:05 p.m., Gerald Ford gave his first speech as President of the United States. He was the only president in U.S. history who was never elected president or vice president. In his inaugural address on this day, 36 years ago, Gerald Ford said, "My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over. Our Constitution works. Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men." On this day in 1854, Henry David Thoreau published Walden, or Life in the Woods. Emerson said he saw a tremble of great expectation in his friend Thoreau just before publication day. Thoreau's previous book, A Week on the Concord and Merrimack Rivers, sold less than 300 copies. And on the day he got his 706 unsold copies back from the publisher, he wrote in his diary, "I have now a library of nearly 900 volumes, over 700 of which I wrote myself." Walden didn't do much better. It took 5 years to sell off the first edition of 2,000 copies, and Thoreau did not live to see a second edition. He managed to arrange a nationwide lecture tour, but only one city made an offer, and so Thoreau kept his lectures to the Concord area. But since then, millions of copies of Walden have been sold. It's the birthday of the poet Philip Larkin, born in Coventry, England, on this day in 1922. He was a librarian for 30 years and a lifelong Stoic. He once said, "Deprivation is for me what daffodils were for Wordsworth." Larkin was known sometimes as the Hermit of Hull because of his solitary nature. Hull, the town in England where he spent most of his life. A few summers ago, Hull unveiled sculptures of toads, a pet subject of Larkin's, all around the town as part of an event called Larkin 25, commemorating the 25th anniversary of the poet's death. Philip Larkin, who said, "I think writing about unhappiness is probably the source of my popularity, if I have any. After all, most people are unhappy, don't you think?" And here's a poem by Ira Sukrungrung, "How to Tell Your Mother There Will Be No Grandkids in Her Future." Don't enter conversations about generations. Use the art of misdirection. Tell her the rain is falling. Tell her today you saw a cardinal, her favorite bird, and it was feeding its young seeds. No, better not mention the young. Tell her instead, the garden is coming in thick this spring, and the tulips have multiplied, their buds like hands in prayer. Better yet, tell her about the work crying in your briefcase. Tell her you wish you had three lives, one for work, one for your dreams, and one for her. That one will have as many Siamese warriors as she wants, swinging on a tree as wide as an ocean, its limbs twisting and turning. In that life, they listen, those warriors, for the sound of her voice. They wait for her to emerge from the jeweled temple. How to Tell Your Mother There Will Be No Grandkids in Her Future, a poem by Ira Sukrungrung from his collection In Thailand It Is Night, published by the University of Tampa Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. This is Billy Collins for the Writer's Almanac, hoping you will join us here next time.
Hello, you are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardis. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And here in the studio, we have two communication experts, professors, actually, Matt Gushwan from UAS, Kelly Birkinshaw, who's the producer-director of 360 North K2's TV studios, who's also an adjunct professor at UAS. Thanks for coming in today.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
So UAS has a communications, seems like quite a few communication classes, and they're coming up this fall. I think classes start September 3rd. Is that correct?
September 2nd, I believe. No, you're right, September 3rd.
September 3rd.
It is the 3rd.
So let's talk about the communication classes that you're both teaching. I understand Matt's teaching three, Kelly's teaching one. Let's start with Kelly, since she's doing intro to media production. So Kelly, if I was saying, I think this might sound interesting, what would I expect from intro to media production?
Intro to media production is introducing you to the fundamentals of taking something, you know, all the way from start to finish. So you will learn about how to write a script if you're interested in creating a movie. A lot of people were concerned because they said, oh, I don't want to do documentaries, and I'm not covering just documentaries. The book is directing documentaries, but it's a good book for if you would like to create some fiction as well as nonfiction programs.
How to tell your story.
How to tell your story, right? Making it a compelling story, regardless of whether you're using what kind of media you're using. So if you want to tell a story on the web, if you want to tell a story on the radio, if you want to tell a story with video, they're all good fundamentals to be learning from.
So you're working on the script, which of course is
the first place
you start. And then you're working on the script, and then you're actually getting into the technical aspect of it. Okay, so you filmed it with your phone. Oh, you filmed it with a camera. You filmed it up with like a really good camera, that type of thing.
Right, that
and
kind
then
of thing.
The whole
right.
editing process to it.
We're not going to be actually covering the post-production. We will cover the fundamentals of post-production, but we won't be doing any editing. If you're in the advanced class, there's actually two classes, the 218 and then 418. So the higher level, that's why it is a higher level, is because then you are expected to take it actually through post-production and create a finished product.
Okay. But your class will go from a script to story on whatever the medium is. Is that
right,
correct?
Right.
Okay. And then are you focusing on like video? Or are you focusing on film editing?
Well, there would be a sound component, so you will be expected to produce a piece of audio. Also, we will be doing a shoot here in the studio at 360 North, so you'll get a chance to work with the TV cameras. You'll get a chance to work with the TV mixers and the directing board. I will expect you to create a small project that you will direct and go live to tape with.
Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds like hands-on. So how many times a week? Is it once a week, twice a week?
Once a week, Wednesdays, 5:30 to 8:30.
Okay. And so I understand that the communications is a concentration under the Bachelor of Arts liberal degree, but it sounds like something that might be of interest for people who aren't matriculated, too, that are just interested in telling stories. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. And what made you get into media production?
No, I got into it I was working on a campaign for gay rights in New Mexico, and I wanted to tell that story, and went about it in the wrong way, the way that everybody does, and just started shooting tons and tons of material before I had actually written a script. And I'd actually like to work with people to say, develop your idea first, your script first, and then take it into production.
Right. This is a volunteer job for me. I have a whole long history of communications and public relations, and I'm always like, and what are you trying to say? Where are we going?
Right,
What's the point? Can we back it out? So I'm sure you've heard that as well. It's just like, okay, what is it that you want to say, and how do you convey it so people could hear it? That sounds great. So, Matt, you're teaching three classes. You're an assistant professor here at UAS, and this is your second year at the school?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
We're beginning the second year.
All right. Well, Thanks for sticking around.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, man, what a summer. But let's talk about your classes. What are you teaching?
So I'll be teaching our introductory Communication 111 course. I'll also be teaching an online class on media, and also a third course on called Fans, Brands, and Social Networks. And really what I want to do in that class is to look at consumer culture and the way it's changing in our time, especially as we, you know, look at our computers, look at our cell phones, et cetera, et cetera.
As the TV people are panicking.
They are, but they're also being very innovative in finding junctures with social media and trying to
cross-pollinate.
You know, exactly.
So yeah. Fans, brands, and social media.
And social networks.
Oh, social networks. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so my background is actually in fan studies. My dissertation research is on Italian soccer fans. And so one of the things I was really curious about is how they can be so in love with something that is ultimately sort of a part of consumer culture, something that's a for-profit business. And so that has sort of opened up for me doors to think more about consumer culture.
Interesting. So this fans, brands, and social networking, is this an upper class or can anybody take it?
Yes, it is a 400-level class. Mm-hmm. It would be great if all the students had at least one communication class before they started, but there may be some exceptionally interested students, and they can contact me via email.
Okay. We'll get into the contact stuff. If you just go on the UAS website, you could look at, they have really a great website where you click on what you want, and then it gives you a description, it gives you the instructor, so you could just, the email to the instructor, and so on and so forth. But yeah. Let's talk about intro to communications. Let's say no one in this room knows what that is. What would one expect to intro to communications?
Well, we try to cover a variety of things, from public speaking, how to give a speech, how to think about a speech, and how to critique a speech, as well as to think about media, to do very very limited but sort of short media productions within that, and really just to think critically about how people communicate and why they communicate, and how they, you know, a bit how they can do it better, but to really to start them in a sort of liberal arts critical thinking approach to the material.
Okay. When you say media production, what are you talking about? Are you talking about YouTube, or are you talking about a higher level of that, or are you talking about a wide variety of formats?
Well, media production, I mean, that's actually quite an interesting question, because nowadays we might think of a public speech as something that is media production, since everything is recorded. Everything is digitized. But in particular, for that class, students could do a very short video assignment. They can also, I'll have them do an audio, a one-minute audio reading.
Interesting. And then the other class, the online class, was?
Media studies. It's just called generically media studies, and we're going to look at a variety of media, television, probably a little bit of radio, and certainly film and advertising, to think, again, to think critically about media and how it sort of affects our perceptions of the world, for better or for worse.
Interesting. Very interesting. So I think they've been offering communication. Have they been offering communications class UAS for a long time, or is this new?
Well, certainly the communication department has communication studies has been at UAS for quite a while. Of course, as many fields, it's sort of developing a new path and evolving as we go, especially, you know, as I mentioned before, as we think about digital media, social networking, social media.
I would think that people who are matriculated for a four-year degree would say, oh, yeah, this sounds interesting. Let's talk about TV and film. Is that the case? Or are your classes, like, bulging?
We certainly have some very dedicated, interested students, but we certainly also have room for more.
Okay,
and we'd
great.
Like to grow, and we'd like to, you know, have a greater student population interested in communication.
Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, so if you were just joining us, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News, and we're talking to two professors at UAS who are part of the communications program at UAS, and we're talking about the upcoming classes that start September 3rd. And so, Kelly, where would people go to find out? I guess they could just search and look for UAS, and then it's all self-explanatory from there.
Right. And they have the class catalog online, and it is the number of the class is the 218, and for the advanced class, the 418.
Okay. And then, Matt, your classes are
intro to media, media study.
Media study, introduction to communication.
There you go.
Or actually, fundamentals of communication is the precise title. And then the fans, brands, and social networks. Okay. It got misprinted somewhere, fans, bands, and social networks, which would be fun, but we're not going to focus on musical bands.
You see, that would be a communication problem. You would have a class full of different types
one
of people.
One letter can make it different. Although, you know, the students would be welcome to write a research paper on the way that bands actually develop followings, you know, how they have to advertise and self-promote.
There is a book called Brand Like a Rockstar that actually focuses exactly on that.
That sounds like fun. It sounds like fun to me. So if you're interested or if you want to know more information, by all means, go to the UAS website. Just search for UAS. Check out the communication classes. And then if you have specific questions, feel free to email Kelly or Matt. Their emails are right on that course directory online.
We'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to add anything else?
Well, I'd just like to reiterate that, you know, students have a great opportunity to work with a professional like Kelly on media production. I mean, they can develop real-world skills and possibly even develop into an internship and work here behind the mics or behind the cameras.
I wanted to, you know, you were saying, you know, communications program and different stuff. We would like to see that program really grow because we're a growing station and we are always looking for new and talented people to come in. So it would be great.
And to come in and be able to actually work in a TV studio is just really an amazing opportunity. So.
Well, it's an opportunity beyond TV at this point. TV is changing vastly, and so it's media in general. So we're really looking forward to having a community of people to be able to work with.
That sounds great. And then I am pretty sure that there's people at UAS who are there helping people sign up. If you're one of those people that want to go in and talk to a person, I'm sure there's counselors there that could help and financial aid. I mean, we have this full-service college right here in our beautiful little burg. So this is just a smattering of what's going on at UAS, but it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, all you got to do is show up. You know, we'll help you along the way. But
I think that might be a little more demanding than that. I'm not so sure. Well,
what did Woody Allen say? Something like 80% of life is showing up.
Right. Well, there we go. Well, thanks for showing up today.
Well,
thanks for coming in.
This is Bird Note. The tide's partway out. Bonaparte's gulls, one of North America's smallest, have formed a chorus line at the water's edge. Side by side, in half an inch of water, they're stomping their feet as fast as they can. This stirs up an abundance of tiny marine invertebrates, including a smorgasbord of shrimp. Is this a learned behavior, or are the gulls born knowing how to forage cooperatively? Most likely, it's innate, but no one knows for certain. The Bonaparte's gulls have returned from the boreal forest of the north, where they nest in trees. Trees? Yes, they're the only gull that regularly does that. Now, as they migrate south through the Mississippi Flyway and along both coasts, they're amassing in large flocks. The head of the adult is still black, like a vanilla cone that's been dipped in very dark chocolate. But soon, it will begin a gradual transition back to the white head of winter. This is one gull you're never going to see in a garbage dump. Bonapartes find food in several ways, but not by picking through trash. Why should they, when they have such a nutritional dance routine? To share today's show with a friend, begin at our website, birdnote.org.
Newspaper carried this story, stating simply that a small-town emergency squad had been summoned to a house where smoke was pouring from an upstairs window. The crew broke in and found a man in the smoldering bed. after the man was rescued and the mattress doused, the obvious question was asked, "How did this happen?" He said, "I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it."
Hello, you are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News. I'm Joan Pardis. Jeff Brown's at the board. He's the engineer and producer of this show. And we are here to talk about Food Truck Friday. We were just listening to the first song that Tony Tangs wrote, and he's here in the studio to talk about Food Truck Fridays, along with Michael Christensen and Becky Bear. Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Hello, Joan and Jeff.
So, Becky, tell me, what's going on tonight at Food Truck Friday?
Well, I'm going to tell stories. I think three, maybe four, from around the world. One will be Native American, one will actually be Russian Jewish, and one will be African.
Wow, that sounds great. So are you part of the concert series? What time are you telling stories?
5:30.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful.
And I guess the one thing I'm going to say is usually when they say I'm going to tell stories, we get a room full of preschoolers. And I'd like to explain that these are actually more stories for adults. Now, that doesn't mean to imply that it has to do with the big S word or anything like that. No, no, no. But, you know, it's a little more complicated than a preschooler is going to get. So that's what I want to mean.
So all ages are welcome.
All ages are welcome. Preschoolers probably won't get it.
Right. So but they'll be thrilled with the story anyway.
Oh,
so,
yes.
You know, most of the stuff goes over a lot of people's heads, not only preschoolers, but, you know.
Oh, I think these will be simple enough. Most people will get it.
Oh, it'll be great.
I'm not going to be cryptic.
No, I didn't think you'd be cryptic at all. I think that's great. So that's tonight at 5:30.
At 5:30.
Three stories from Becky Bear. Michael, what are you? Michael Christensen, what's up tonight with you in Food Truck Friday?
I'm going to be cryptic.
Okay.
I'm doing Rorschach Pattern 9 with Eric Caldwell, and it's improv, and if we knew what we were doing, then it wouldn't be improv. So we'll see what happens.
Sounds fun. Great. And Tony?
I am, well, for one thing, that meant the song that was started this segment of the show, as I didn't do the words. I put them to music and for that particular piece. But anyway, I'm going to be doing some of my old Chestnut songs, I guess. I don't have anything new, fresh off the griddle, but I'll be doing some of a smorgasbord from the past, I guess.
Maybe you could improv.
Maybe I could, yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah. So I actually have been out of town most of the summer, and I haven't been to one Food Truck Friday. So we're gonna go to the place of just who, what, where, when, and why. So I think that the concerts are at 5:30 inside the Jack. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then outside, there's a variety of vendors selling a variety.
Everything. They have a mosquito market, which is, of course, the Juno version of a flea market. They have all sorts of food vendors there. They
also have
other vendors,
things.
Yeah.
People selling things out of the backs of their cars.
Yes. So it's just wild.
I've heard it's great, and I know that they bring big crowds, but I've not been in town on a Friday.
Well, you see, now's your opportunity.
I'm definitely going to have to go home and change and come back out. I see them getting ready through the window.
Mm-hmm.
So, Becky, you're telling stories tonight, but what's coming up in the future for you? You're a wonderful storyteller. What's on the horizon?
Oh, probably Telebration, which I think will be November.
Huh.
I'm just sort of getting back into it, you know, because for a long time I had to focus on some other things. And so this is actually the first time I've really done official storytelling in about 4 years.
Oh, wow. Great, great. I'll be happy to hear it. And Michael, what's on the horizon for you besides the improv tonight that you don't know what you're doing?
We're going to come back next week with Kate Laster, and we will know what we're doing. We're going to be doing Poetic License, which is kind of a mashup between poetry, improv poetry, and improv sketches.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Based on that.
That sounds good. So that's next week, 5:30.
Yep.
Okay. And Tony, what's going on in Tony's world?
In my world, as far as the music thing goes, I'm working on a couple songs with a friend and sort of a storyline to connect them. I hope that continues. And I always like to learn a Buddy song or two every year, so I'm going to try to tackle a couple more Buddy Tabor's pieces.
That sounds great.
This year, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. All right, well, thanks all of you for coming in. It's tonight, 5:30 at the Jack, which is right here on Glacier Highway. And in downtown Juneau, there's food outside and a whole variety of vendors. It sounds like a party. So come on down and hear some great stories
mm-hmm.
and music. Yeah. Friday night
party. Try the ribs.
Okay. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Joan Pardes. Jeff Brown's in the studio with me. He engineers and produces this show. It's been a very interesting show. Lots going on in town. We've got the Food Truck Friday and some great storytelling and improv and music at the Jack tonight at starting at 5:30. We've got upcoming classes at UAS. We've got a Sledgehammer 36-hour writing contest for the writers out there. Come ye, come ye. Let's do it. That starts August 17th and 18th for 36 hours, starts August 17th and ends on the 18th. And then we've also got the star performances at Perseverance. We've got Cinderella tonight at 7:30. We've got Guys and Dolls at 2 tomorrow and King Lear at 7:30. On Monday, I'll be hosting again. We'll be talking to M.K. McNaughton about her upcoming art workshops. Author Jeff Brady will be here to talk about his new book, Skagway, City of the New Century. Looks great. We'll also learn how to submit videos for the next Jump Society Showcase, and Buck Willoughby will be here to highlight the Juno Co-op preschool registration. You all know if you miss a Juno afternoon and you want to listen again, you could catch it and other local, statewide, national, and international news at ktoo.org. As for the weather, it's the amazing summer of 2013. Tonight, partly cloudy, areas of fog. Tomorrow, sunny, highs of 70. Saturday night, mostly clear, lows around 52. Sunday, sunny. Sunday night, sunny. Monday, sunny, around 74. Tuesday, around 74. Tuesday night, around 53. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, highs around 74. And I don't see rain in the forecast at all. So thank you for listening. You're listening to KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardes. Jeff Brown's the producer and engineer of the show, and we will catch you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. K2 also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valleyanock Bay Area, tuned to K276 AF 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, here